If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to look at verse 5 and verse number 6. We started the series with our July 4th celebration entitled One Nation Under God, and today we're going to talk about the foundation of freedom, how to lay a foundation of freedom. And we'll choose our text out of Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, and we'll look at verse 5 and verse 6, which is a very, very familiar passage to many of us, where the Bible reads, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now that's just two verses this morning, and I'd like to read that out loud together. You think we can do that? Ready? Here we go. Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We're talking about one nation under God this morning, and I believe that as Christians and as American Christians, that we need to discover and remember our American heritage. I believe there's been a lot of men and women who have fought for freedom over the years, and the reason why they fought for freedom is because they first experienced freedom in Jesus Christ, and that's why we're free today. I'll tell you this, I believe with all my heart, studying history, looking back into the pages of our American culture, that this nation was built as one nation under God, that men and women championed the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, so you and I could have a Bible in our hand today, and so this is a series that we're preaching on, and hopefully it will help you in the month of July as we look at our independence, as we look at our freedom as Americans. It will help you to celebrate the fact that God has allowed you under his sovereign will for you to be born in America. You could have been born anywhere else. In slavery, you could have been born in a country where there's no democracy. You could have been born in a country where there's no freedom. But God, under his sovereignty, allows you to be born in America, and you're here today, so you ought to celebrate your freedom, celebrating the liberties that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be seated. Again, thank you for coming. You pray for the service today as we talk about the foundation of freedom. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the amazing music that we heard, how the Spirit already has moved in this place. And I pray, God, as we look into the pages of the Word of God, that you will help us to understand who we are and what you have called us to do. God, I do thank you for allowing me, Lord, to be born into the home of the Samsons. I thank you for my mom. I thank you for my dad, Lord, and for sovereignly allowing me to be born an American. Father, for placing me in this country where I can stand in this place here in the great state of Georgia to open up the Bible and to preach to these people, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we can experience to sing and to pray for one another. Not worried about that someone's going to come in and arrest us or take our Bibles away. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the strong, rich freedom and heritage that we have here in this country. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember that as we look into the pages of the Word of God to see what we must do in order to glorify you in this place. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. Now, in today's politically correct atmosphere, there's basically the very idea that America began as a Christian nation. It seems like there's many that wants to erase it, and it's under attack today. As a matter of fact, there's basically two worldviews that you'll find that's out there in modern America, competing worldviews, and there's two of them. The first one would be that there are Americans, and I believe there's some here today. I believe there's many of them here today, that there are Americans who still believe in the rich, godly heritage that originally made America great. If you believe that, just give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the first minute of the sermon. Amen? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that as Americans, that there are many out there that believes that God has allowed us under his sovereign will and his providence to have the great nation that we live in, to experience the freedom that we have and the liberties that we have. But on the other hand, there is a group in our secular society that is increasingly trying to put away the rich heritage and the liberties that we experience. Religious liberties are at risk to all Americans. And they are stating emphatically and proclaiming that we are not a Christian nation. Now, as controversial as it may be, I believe the evidence is clear. When you study the history of our American culture, you'll find that this nation was built upon the principles of the Bible, and that there were men and women who championed the cause of Jesus Christ in order for you and I to be free. Just to give you a brief tour of history this morning before we dive into our text, I'll remind you of just a few individuals. First of all, Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus was an amazing individual, and the very reason why he left the old world and he sailed to the new world was that he wanted to open up a pathway so the gospel of Jesus Christ could reach other nations. It's a shame today that in our textbooks across our universities and across our school systems that they're trying to paint Christopher Columbus as an evil, awful man. But when you study history and you look at it emphatically, you will find and discover that this man was a flawed man, yes, but he was also a faithful man. And the very reason why he left the old world and was moved to the new world, he was motivated on his voyage by faith in Jesus Christ. You will find statements that Christopher Columbus stated emphatically that when he discovered the Indians and the people of the other islands, that he said this was going to be a group of people where God could evangelize the islands and these people so many souls could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christopher Columbus was a man of faith. In 1620, you'll find that the Pilgrims drafted our nation's very first self-governing document. It was called the Mayflower Compact. And when you read the Mayflower Compact that was drafted there in 1620, it clearly stated that the New World was established in order to glorify God and to advance the Christian faith. When you read more of American history, you'll discover that the education of the settlers and the founders of America, it was uniquely Christian and it was Bible-based. As a matter of fact, as you look at our founding fathers, all of them received a Christian education on every single level, from a child all the way up. And as a matter of fact, the major universities, the earliest universities that was built in America, that is Harvard, William & Mary, you have Yale and Princeton, every single one of them was biblically based. They were biblically Christian in their beginning. The intent of those first universities, Harvard and Yale and Princeton, it was to educate men and to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make them thunderbolts of evangelism in this country where men and women could hear the word of God and be saved. Can you say amen? Men like George Whitefield blazed a trail of evangelism and revivals in this country. He was an amazing man of God. He was an amazing preacher. If George Whitefield was here today, he would probably shock most pulpits. He was a man of integrity. He was a man with passion, and he literally preached to the colonies. And because of his ministry early on, he took to 13 colonies. And brought the 13 colonies together in mass revival where they begin to fellowship one another and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity quickly began to shape some of our national heroes. The preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel begin to shape the minds and the hearts of many of our greatest national heroes. President George Washington was a man of faith. He believed in the word of God. And it was the preaching and the teaching of the word of God that helped shape his thinking to cause America to be great. Samuel Adams, who was the man who was considered to be the lightning rod of the American Revolution, believed in the Bible, believed in the principles of faith, believed in the word of God, adhered to the preaching of the gospel, and believed that this nation was built upon the Bible and the premise of the Word of God. That great lawyer who stood one day in a group of individuals as a very young man, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Patrick Henry believed in the Bible. He believed in Jesus Christ. He believed in faith, and the shaping of their minds and their hearts was based upon the teaching from a mom and daddy and a pastor and a church who loved God. And some of our greatest national heroes were men of faith. They were men of renown. They believed in the Bible. God, give us some more American heroes today that are believing the Bible, believing the word of God, and upholding the banner of truth. Can you say amen? That's good preaching, Brother David. The Declaration of Independence, when you read it in its entirety, you'll discover that it was based on Christian ideas. We went over that last week in our sermon, that the liberties that was granted to all the citizens was passed down from the teachings of the God of the Bible. They based our entire freedom and our liberty on the teachings of the Bible. As a matter of fact, there is a man by the name of Dr. David Ramsey. He was one of America's earliest American historians. Dr. David Ramsey on July 4th, 1794 spoke in St. Michael's Episcopal Church there in Charleston, South Carolina, one of the oldest churches in our American history. And Dr. David Ramsey stood up that day and he spoke these words. He said, "Had I a voice that could be heard from New Hampshire to Georgia, it should be exerted in urging the necessity of the disseminating virtue and knowledge among our citizens. On this subject, the policy of the eastern states is well worthy of intimidation." Or, help me out there. Thank you. I said intimidation. "The wise people of that extremity of the Union never form a new township." Listen to this. "The wise people of that extremity of the Union never form a new township," listen, "without making arrangements that secure to its inhabitants the instruction of youth," listen to this, "and public preaching of the gospel." I thought that was absolutely amazing. They said that these Eastern Unions, when they came together, two things were going to be true of them. Number one, every student would receive an education, and that education would be built upon the Bible and the Word of God. The second thing they made sure of in every city, in every township, that there was public preaching of the Word of God. Look where we are today. While in some places today, you're kicked off the street corner for talking about Jesus. You can't pass out tracts. You can't pass out Bibles. You're persecuted for your faith. Look where we have come as American citizens. What has happened is we have lost our American heritage. We have forgotten our freedom. We have forgotten who we are. And God's looking for some men and women to hold the Word of God in their hand once again. And don't let the politicians brainwash you and dictate to you what we are as Americans. We are one nation under God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. In every city, in every state, there was preaching of the Word of God. There was a man by the name of Reverend Samuel Davies. Him and George Whitfield blazed a trail of evangelism all throughout America. These guys were probably two of the America's earliest beloved pastors and evangelists. Reverend Samuel Davies also was the president of Princeton, but he had powerful preaching, and one day he was asked to speak to a group of Virginia volunteers. These men were coming together as a group to help protect some of the colonies, and they called in to this pastor and said, "We want you to speak to this massive group of people before they're dispersed and before they go out and they defend." And this is what he said to those men that morning. Listen, he said, "Oh, my countrymen, and particularly you brave men that are for the occasion of this meeting," he says, "repent. Fall down upon your knees before the provoked sovereign of heaven and earth against you have rebelled. Dissolve and melt in penitential sorrows at his feet, and he will tell you, 'Arise, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, to you is born a Savior of no mean, common character. He is Christ the Lord.' He says, 'And you have never heard that? And he has reconciled your iniquities and brought you into everlasting righteousness? That he suffered the just for the unjust? That God is well pleased for his righteousness' sake and declares himself willing to be reconciled to all that believe in him and cheerfully accept him as Savior and Lord? Have you never heard these joyful tidings, O guilty, self-condemned sinners? Sure you have. Then away to Jesus. Fly to Jesus on wings of faith, all of you, every age and of every character, for you all stand in the most absolute need of him, and without him you must perish, every soul of you. Repent." I'm here to tell you, friend, the pulpits of America, they were like thunderbolts of revival years ago. Men believed in repentance. They believed in faith. They believed in freedom. They believed in coming together and in a community and loving one another and preaching the Word of God. And I'm here to declare today that I'm convinced more than ever. I am convinced more than ever that the men and women that championed the cause of American freedom and American liberty and our liberties in religion, it was men and women of faith that believed in the Bible, that upheld the principles and the precepts of the Bible. They were men that were in love with Jesus, and they believed in freedom because they had freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our very fourth president, James Madison, once made this statement. He said, "We have staked the whole of all of our political institution upon the capacity of all mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." These men believed in the Bible. They believed in the Word of God. They believed in the Ten Commandments. And look where we are today. We have taken the Ten Commandments out of the halls of our schools and we put police in our halls. Today, some school systems, they have monitors there. As you walk through the halls, you'll find you have to go through a metal detector to make sure that you don't have a gun or some type of weapon. Look where we are today. We have been diminished in many ways. We have allowed ourselves to become so corrupt with material and goods and gold and all this and that. Goods and gold has replaced God in our lives. And I'm asking you today, as a group of individuals living in Catoosa County, that you stand for freedom, that you teach your children what freedom is all about, that you teach them about the brave soldiers, the men and women who spilled their blood, who gave their life, who sacrificed all so that you and I could have freedom. We are definitely one nation under God, but look where we are today. Look where we are today. While even in America today, we have individuals that will burn our flag. They'll spit in our American culture's face and all this and that. There's been men and women that has championed the cause of freedom for you and I. They spilled their blood. And how dare we even begin to disgrace them for their sacrifice and for their liberty and for what they've done for you and I, that we can stand here today free and preach the Word of God. Can you say amen? It was William Booth who was the founder of the Salvation Army. He stated this about the 20th century. He said this, and he's sounding more like a prophet than a preacher. He made this statement. He was afraid of some chief dangers that would come to pass in the 20th century. And he said it would be these: Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without regeneration, morality without God, heaven without hell, and religion without the Holy Spirit. I believe that he is right. We are seeing today within our culture that even our churches today, they have a form of Christianity without Christ. They have this forgiveness without regeneration. They have morality without God. That is, truth is all relevant. If it's relevant to you, then it's true for you. It may not be true for me. Let me tell you again, there is absolute truth, and that's the Bible that I hold in my hand. Morality without God, heaven without hell. Boy, we hear a lot of that on TV today, don't we? A lot of heaven, but there's no teaching and no preaching about hell. Religion without the Holy Spirit. This is where we are today. And I am asking you today, and I am challenging you with the sermon, One Nation Under God, for you to begin to lay a foundation of freedom. And many, 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 many years before America ever came into existence, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God spoke to Solomon. Solomon begins to write down and to pen some words down, teaching us how to lay a foundation of freedom. Long before America was discovered, before any man or woman shed their blood and championed the cause for freedom, God told Solomon exactly how we are to lay a foundation of freedom. And this is what our forefathers believed in. I hope that you write them down. Number one, you lay the foundation of freedom when you become confident in God's care. Confident in God's care. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you confident in God's care? Do you trust the Lord this morning? Do you know that God's going to take care of your family? God's going to take care of your marriage? God's going to take care of our community? These men and women who championed the cause of freedom and liberty in our nation, they were very confident in God's care. Where do they get that from? They got it right from the Bible. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Dr. Schofield, if you have a Schofield Bible or reference Bible or study one, you'll find that Dr. Schofield says that the word trust there is the Old Testament equivalent for the New Testament words faith and believe. He states that it occurs over 150 times in the Old Testament, and basically the word trust there means to take refuge or to lie down or to stretch out on. Now, many of you understand that, what it means to lie down or to stretch out on. Yesterday, you might have had a busy day, and I was taking my gimpy leg and walking all over my property weed eating yesterday. I want you to know, last night after study and all the events of the day, I went to my comfortable bed and I lied down and I put my full weight into that bed. I was taking refuge. I stretched out as Melissa was snoring. Oh, she's sitting on the front row. Man, I thought she was in the nursery. I laid out there, you know, and I put my full weight in the bed. I was taking refuge in the bed. Last night when you laid down and you put your full weight into that bed, or perhaps you stretched out on your recliner for a little while, you put your full weight into that, you were trusting that to take refuge. That's what it means to trust in God. To trust in God means that you're putting your full weight in the Lord. You see, it's one thing for you just to believe in God, but it's altogether different for you to say, I'm going to put my full weight and trust in Him. I'm going to take refuge in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, listen, and I will give you rest. What Jesus is saying there, it's not just enough just to believe in God. You've got to trust Him. That is, you've got to put your full weight on Him. You've got to take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You see, Dr. James Merritt, one of my favorite preachers, made this statement, and he's exactly right. He said, you got to put your whole heart into trusting God, because half-hearted trust is basically the same thing as whole-hearted doubt. Half-hearted trust is the same thing as whole-hearted doubt. You can't trust God halfway. You can't say, well, God, I'll trust you with this part, but I'm going to take this part over here. Half-hearted trust is whole-hearted doubt. Now, you know that. You know it takes trust in order for a relationship to thrive and to do well, right? Well, any marriage in here, the key element to keeping your home together is what? Help me. Trust, right? If you don't trust one another, what's going to happen? Well, the home's going to disintegrate. The home's going to fall apart. You've got to trust one another. It's like I heard the humorous story one time of Adam and Eve. And everybody know who's Adam and Eve is, first man and first woman. They're in the book of Genesis. And it's a fictional story. And they said, you know, God laid Adam down and He took from his rib and He made a beautiful, beautiful woman. And Adam seen her for the first time and said, wow, you know, she's a babe, you know, loved her. And said, well, I'm going to call her Eve. She's the mother of all living. And they had a happily ever after there in the Garden of Eden. And all of a sudden, Adam was coming home late. He wasn't getting home on time. He's out working. And Eve started getting worried. He come home one night and she said, you know what, honey, I'm a little worried that you're staying out all night. You're not coming home and I'm wondering where you are. Where have you been? You're not seeing another woman, are you? And Adam said, now Eve, now you know better than that. He said, you're the only woman here. Well, God made you, and you're the only woman. You're the only woman for me, honey. Get that out of your mind. Everything's going to be all right. Well, they went to bed that night, and Adam woke up about 2 or 3 in the morning, and Eve was poking him. He said, Eve, what are you doing? She said, I'm counting your ribs. Huh? Trust in a marriage is essential. Amen? And what Jesus is telling us here, what God is saying is, you've got to trust one another. And the reason why God demands total trust is because God deserves it. Does He not? God demands total trust because He deserves nothing less. Look at verse number 5. We're also told, lean not to thine own understanding. Now, the word lean there is an interesting word. For those of you that are word nerds and like to look up the Greek and Hebrew, that word lean there is shaon. Shaon. And that word there literally means to support yourself. Basically, he is saying that we are not to be guided by what we think, we are not to be guided by what we do, and we are not to be guided by how we feel. We get ourselves in trouble when we guide ourselves by how we feel. You may feel bad today, but it may not be God's fault or situation's fault. It may be the bad pizza that you ate last night, the reason why you feel bad today. You can't trust your feelings, amen? You're not to be guided by your feelings. You're not to be guided by what you think or what you do. Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What the Bible is saying there, lean not into thy own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Put your full weight and trust in God. You know, I read a story. It's a crazy story. There was an article in a newspaper as a headline that read like this. It said, plane with a mind of its own crashes. And in that headline, it was a story about a man by the name of Paul Sirks. Now, Paul Sirks was an individual. He was a pilot. He had one of those old vintage airplanes. And he had landed a 1946 aircraft at the airport because of mechanical problems. So he gets out of the plane. He tries to go start this thing by hand. And he's winding the propeller. And the engine fires back up. Well, the problem was the engine fired up. And the propeller started going. But Paul is still on the ground. And the plane was trimmed to move. And so the plane starts moving and taxiing down the runway, and the plane literally jumps up and sails 2,000 feet up into the air with no pilot. It's circling around for 5 hours, and then it makes another jump up to 12,000 feet up into the air until it finally came crashing down in a cornfield in northeastern Ohio. You say, man, that's a crazy story. Well, let me tell you this. If you plan on piloting your own plane of life, you're going to crash land too. If you plan on doing it all by yourself, if you plan on making this jump and making this leap and moving forward all by yourself, you're going to crash land also. God says, trust in me. Don't lean to your own understanding. You say, well, I got it figured out. I don't need God's help this time. Honey, you need God's help every single time. Whether it's small, whether it's medium, whether it's large, whatever the problem is, God is saying this. If you're going to lay a foundation of freedom, and as an American, a Christian American, if you're going to lay a foundation of freedom in your home and here in our church and our county, you've got to begin by laying a foundation where you are confident in God's care. Can you say amen? Secondly, you not only lay a foundation of freedom when you're confident in God's care, but let me give you a second thing. You lay the foundation of freedom when you become committed to God's purpose. Also committed to God's purpose. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, in all thy ways. Say that with me. In all thy ways. It goes on to say, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. That means that in your financial life, your social life, your recreational life, your vocational life, your marital life, your spiritual life, your church life, that means you are to acknowledge God in all thy ways, in everything, all of it, everything. Well, you say, well, I can control my finances. I don't need God's help. No, you need God's help. So I can handle school. School's a thing I'll just handle on my own. I really don't need God in the school. Oh, really? We need God in the school. Someone say amen. And the Bible says, in all thy ways, that is in everything that you do. And that's exactly what our founding forefathers believed in. As a matter of fact, the total acknowledgement of God was the foundational idea of our pilgrims. There were 41 pilgrims that signed the Mayflower Compact on November 11, 1620. As those 41 pilgrims came together, they declared that their intentions was to establish a colony in God's name and for his glory and the advancement of the Christian faith. It's the earliest self-governing document that we have in our American history. They emphatically stated, we are putting this colony together in God's name for his glory and for the advancement of the Christian faith. It'd be later on in years, in 1630, that the Puritans came over under the leadership of John Winthrop. And as they came over, they followed the pilgrims in the New World. And according to history, it was their desire to achieve several objectives. Listen what they were. To carry the gospel and bring the fullness of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. To enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. Obey the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and share the gospel with the American Indians and others coming from overseas. Help establish and support an infant church. Be a city on a hill, a city of God, a holy city in America. That was their intentions in 1630 as the Puritans came over here. These men and women championed the cause of freedom and religious liberties. They believed in God. They were committed to God's purpose. They believed in Matthew chapter number 28. They believed that all nations everywhere needed to hear the word of God, and they were excited that they could bring the gospel to this country. And yes, I know that there were many that abused this country. And yes, I know there were many that wrongfully did the Indian culture that was here, and women were raped, and people were murdered, and their tribes were pillaged, and all this and that.
But understand, friend, the founding leaders, our forefathers that came over here, the pilgrims, the Puritans, Christopher Columbus, and all these men that came together, their intentions, the leadership of this country was not moving away from the Bible. They were taking the Bible and ingraining it into our heritage and to our roots. They were committed to God's purpose in evangelizing the lost. And I agree with Tim LaHaye, who sounds, again, more like a prophet than a preacher. He says this: unless we return to traditional respect for the teachings of religion and morality, which was advocated by our founding fathers, and which is essential to maintain moral sanity in a democracy, this country will ultimately destroy itself from within. And I believe we see that happening today, don't we? We see it happening all around us. We are destroying ourselves from within. I was talking to my mother a while back. We're talking about the tribulation and all this and that. And I told my mom, and I'll tell you also, that there are no promises in the Bible that America will be here when Christ returns for his church. There's no promises there. We may self-destruct. We may be absorbed into a European community. There is no evidence anywhere in the Bible that promises we're going to be here. We may self-destruct in such a way that we actually turn on ourselves because of our own greed. And we are turning on ourselves. We're becoming like an animalistic. When would you ever think, me growing up, and those of you that are older that are here, growing up and hearing about somebody walking into our schools and shooting our children? We've not had one or just two cases. There are many cases all across this land of children shooting children. We've gone crazy. You know why we've gone crazy? We've gotten away from Christ. And the reason why our country is corrupt, we don't believe in the Bible no more. And what I'm asking you to do, you say, I'm just one person. I'm one family. We're just one church. God took 12 disciples and he turned the world upside down. Think of what he could do with 600-700 people that are here today, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, uplifting the Bible, and telling people we are free because of Christ. Hallelujah to God. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah to God. Give him praise today. God can use us. I believe it with all my heart. Committed to God's purpose. You see, that word acknowledge there in verse number 6 literally means to recognize or to see. So the Bible says, in all thy ways, you are to recognize, you are to see. Simply put, in every part of your life, you're to be looking for God. You're to be looking for him. You're to acknowledge God. Can you just imagine what would happen to my life and your life and our city's life if we just begin looking for God, acknowledging him in everything? How about I believe your marriage would change. If you would just start looking for God in your marriage, I believe your marriage would change. Well, your money would change. If you begin looking for God, you say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, listen, friend, I believe you'll start giving to God and make it a priority to tithe and to do your part and to give to God and to worship God with your substance. I believe this. God's going to bless you. Your marriage will change. Your money will change. Your ministry will change if you just start looking for God. You see, our early founding forefathers, they laid a foundation of freedom. And that foundation of freedom was one that was confident in God's care. They laid a foundation of freedom that was committed to God's purpose. And then last of all, they had a foundation of freedom that they laid because they were controlled by God's will. You see, you begin to lay that foundation of freedom when you become confident in God's care, committed to God's purpose, and definitely controlled by God's will. Look at verse number 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, watch this, and he shall direct thy pass. Now think about that phrase for a moment. Some of you are here this morning and you've got decisions that are on the table, whether it's your business, your home, your marriage, your children, whatever it may be. And you're just wondering this morning, what am I going to do come Monday morning? Monday morning when you walk into the job, you know you have a decision to make. Perhaps your business is on financial upheaval. Perhaps you see all these people that you employ and that you love and you're trying to help, and you've got decisions that you need to make, tough decisions in tough times. Perhaps there's a situation going on at home and you've got to make a decision. Perhaps you've got a wayward son or a wayward daughter and they've trampled over you long enough. And you, because of love and compassion, you've been afraid to set down and to lay down some stern, hard lines. And you're afraid of what's going to happen. You're afraid of the consequences. Let me tell you something. I believe sometimes parents need to exercise tough love. Sometimes you need to be tough. And you say, man, this is a big decision, and I don't know what to do. You may be here and you're faced with some type of family decision. You say, this is the toughest thing that it's ever faced me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you're just all just boggled in your mind. If you're going to lay a foundation of freedom, you need to understand that you need to be controlled by God's will. Look what the Bible says. He shall direct thy paths. Here's what I believe. If you will acknowledge God, and you'll put your full weight in Him by trusting in Him. When it's time for you to make that decision, God will give you perfect light at the perfect time. Right at the right time, at the last minute, God will show up right on time. You will unmistakably know that this is what God wants you to do. There will be a peace that passes all understanding. You won't doubt. You won't be dismayed. You know this is what God wants you to do. And with confidence, you take a step forward and you move forward in God's honor and God's glory. Why? Because you're controlled by God's will, not by your emotions, not by manipulation, not by even compassion or love. You are controlled by God's will. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we let our integrity, we let compassion and love override our integrity. Listen, friend, integrity comes when we're doing the right thing all the time. And the right thing to do all the time is to trust God. And if God says, don't go do it, you say, well, I don't want to offend nobody. If God says, move forward, you do exactly what God wants you to do. You're not controlled by your emotions. You're not controlled by the circumstances. You're controlled by the sovereign hand of God. And He shall direct thy paths. Boy, I'm glad He'll do that for us. Can you say amen? Controlled by God's will. And our founding forefathers believed that. As a matter of fact, one commentator said, and he said it right, he said, you can live your life on one of three levels. He said, well, level one is this, I do what I want to do. It seems like our children of this century is living by that. I do what I want to do. Doesn't matter what the preacher says, doesn't matter what the teacher says, doesn't matter what mom and dad says. Level one, I do what I want to do. Level two is this, I think I do what I ought to do. But level number three is this. I do what God leads me to do. And today I want you to live on level three. I want you to say, I'm doing what God leads me to do. Well, that still raises a question. How's God going to direct my path? If I'm going to do what God wants me to do, how's He going to direct my path? How's He going to reveal His will? Can you grab that black book that you hold in your hand and just go like this real quick? Lift it up real high. That's not just a textbook or, boy, that looks good out there. Lift that Bible up. That's not just a textbook or a storybook or fairy tales. That is God's will directing your path. So you've got to read it. You've got to study it. You've got to love it. You've got to be loyal to it. You've got to live it out. Let me give you this sermon statement, and you write this down, and we're coming to a close. You write this down. God's direction will never contradict God's instructions. God's direction will never contradict God's instructions. That is what God says in His Word. He will never, ever contradict it. If God tells you, here's where I want you to go, this is what I want you to do, God's direction will never, ever contradict God's instructions. That means God's will never contradict God's Word. I've heard all sorts of people say, well, I believe that this is God's will for my life. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the Bible has to say. Well, I believe I ought to go do this, and I believe I ought to go do that, and I believe this. Doesn't matter what I believe, you believe, mom and daddy believes. It all matters what God has to say about it. So God's will never contradict God's Word. God says, I will direct your path. How are you going to do that, Lord? He says, with the Bible. That word direct literally means to cut a highway or to clear a path. God says, I will direct your path. I will cut a highway out. I will clear the path. There'll be no debris. You don't have to worry about tripping up. You don't have to worry about falling down. You don't have to worry about any of that. God says, I will cut the path and you can walk across. Just like He did for the children of Israel when they came to the Jordan River and the Red Sea. They were able to cross over on what? Dry ground. God wants to take the Red Sea in your life today. He wants to part it and let you walk over on dry ground. You've got to trust Him today. We are one nation under God. And I believe that history is clear and history proves that our founding fathers, they believed in freedom nationally because they experienced freedom spiritually. They were saved. They were born again. They were regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God. They believed in the Bible. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, and the students that are here, what I'm challenging you to do is this. Look at your American history. Discover the rich soil that this country was embedded in. It was embedded in the Bible and the Word of God. You stand for freedom. You stand for liberty. Politicians will come and go, but God still remains. Nations will come and go, but God still remains. Kings and queens will come and go, but God still remains. When all is said and done, what will remain is this blessed book, the Bible that we hold in our hand. So I'm asking you today as a Christian, as an American Christian, you uphold it. You love it. You live it out. You be loyal to it. You read it and you tell your sons and your daughters and your grandkids. You open up your Bible and you tell them what the Bible has to say and lay a foundation of freedom where you are acknowledging God. You're trusting in Him. And He is directing your path. If you believe it, say amen.